This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show. We've got another hour of radio drama from the Golden Age for you this week. We're going to start off with Dangerous Assignment, an episode titled Streetcar 17. I don't have an exact air date for the show, but it aired sometime in the early 1950s. Then we'll hear from Believe It or Not, An Odd Place to Live, before Luke Slaughter of Tombstone, an episode titled Tracks Out of Tombstone, from March 2nd, 1958.
Dangerous Assignment, transcribed starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell.
Yeah, danger is my assignment. I get sent to a lot of places I can't even pronounce. They all spell the same thing, though, trouble. But when I walk into the commissioner's office, I don't realize that this assignment's going to show me that sometimes the only way to let a little light in on a deal is through a bullet hole. Morning, Commissioner. You sent for me?
Steve, you have a rendezvous in Trieste tomorrow night. At 8 o'clock, you're to be waiting on the southeast corner of the Piazza Damo.
Waiting for what, Commissioner? A streetcar?
Exactly.
Huh?
The number of the car is 17. When you board that streetcar, you'll be carrying an edition of the London Times in your left hand. You'll be contacted by a man named Sutok.
What's this all about?
A report on stolen U.S. atomic secrets, Steve, describing how much is known about them behind the Iron Curtain. A report smuggled out by the underground.
And Sutok has the report?
No, but he can probably tell us where it is.
What do you mean?
The man carrying the report was murdered in Trieste last night. Short time later, Sutok called our embassy in Belgrade and said he was certain the courier had managed to hide the paper before he was killed.
Okay, so I checked with Sutok, but why on a streetcar?
I don't know, but those were the instructions he gave. Get over there, Steve, and talk with Sutok. It's vitally important we recover that report. Well, that's it. You've got your assignment. Good luck.
The National Broadcasting Company is presenting Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy in the role of Steve Mitchell, colorful two-fisted government agent. At all those places of the world where danger and intrigue walk hand in hand, there you will find Steve Mitchell on another dangerous assignment. A new year is almost upon us, and tonight across the nation, NBC will present an all-star parade of bands to welcome in young 1953 in all of our country's time zones. Yes, from New York City's Times Square to San Francisco's Golden Gate, you can ring out the old and ring in the new with such famous orchestras as Guy Lombardo, Freddie Martin, Charlie Spivak, Harry James, Stan Kenton, Duke Ellington, and Woody Herman, all playing for you tonight on the NBC Radio Network. So wherever you are across this great land, this NBC station will broadcast music and merriment to welcome in the new year at your home. So let the familiar three chimes be your invitation to New Year's Eve entertainment.
Sure, I've got my assignment. Get over to Trieste, check with a gent named Sutok, and hope he can help us recover a report that will tell us which of our atomic secrets aren't so secret. It's late Friday afternoon when my plane lands. I check in at a hotel, and at 8 sharp that night, I'm standing on the southeast corner of the Piazza Damo. That's exactly 2 minutes past 8. The streetcar number 17 pulls up. I hop aboard, grab a seat, settle down to wait. Car rolls on block after block, and I start giving the passengers the once-over. There are an even dozen aboard, and I'm trying to pick out my man when the small, beady-eyed gent sitting next to me leans in.
Pardon me. May I trouble you for a match?
Will a lighter do?
But of course. Thank you. I am Zagreb. We will get off at the next corner.
Will we?
You object?
I'd feel better about it if you took your hand out of your coat pocket.
Sorry, no. Now get up. Walk to the rear of the car. Slowly.
to a stop at the corner. I stepped down, then squirrel suddenly and grabbed. He ducks under and the gun barks. The slugs whistle past my ear and I fall back against the car. By the time I've regained my balance, the little gent is sprinting across the street. I take after him. For a guy with short legs, he covers a lot of ground, and two blocks later, I've lost him. I head for the nearest telephone and put in a call to our embassy in Belgrade.
Lowry speaking.
Steve Mitchell, Sam.
Steve, how are you? Where are you?
Trieste.
Oh, sure. I had a hunch they'd send you. How'd you make out with Sutak?
I didn't.
He didn't contact you?
No, but somebody else did. Some character named Zagrev bums me for a cigarette and then tries to blow my brains out.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Look, Sam, about that phone call Sutak made to the embassy.
Yeah, one of the undersecretaries took it. And he had the call traced, if that's what you're interested in.
I am.
The call was made from a shop 603 Via Maggiore there in Trieste.
I'm on my way. Number 603 Via Maggiore is a small tobacco shop at the end of a narrow, crooked street near the waterfront. The shades are drawn and the shop is dark, but I pound on the door.
Yes? What is it, Signor?
I'm looking for Joseph Sutak.
Who are you? What do you want with him?
My name's Mitchell. Here are my credentials.
Oh, yes. Yes, I see. I'm his friend, Guido. Are you the man he wasn't to meet?
That's right, only we missed connections. Do you know where he is, Guido?
But of course. He's working.
Where?
The streetcar. He runs it.
He runs the... Oh, great. No wonder that's where we were to meet.
How is it that you did not meet him?
Somebody with a gun eased me off the streetcar before we could. A guy named Zagrev. Ever hear of him?
No. Where did this happen?
I don't remember the street, but it was near a large cathedral.
Oh, yes, yes, I know. From there, it's at least an hour ride to the end of the line. Joseph always has a coffee at the depot. If you hurry, you can probably catch me there.
I grab a cab and follow the car tracks to the end of the line on the outskirts of the city. I check with a gent behind the coffee counter, but he hasn't seen Joseph Sutak or streetcar number 17 all evening. As I leave the depot, I notice half a dozen would-be passengers stomping up and down on the platform, and a couple of them are muttering assorted dire threats about suing the company. I double back, and half an hour later, I arrive at the other end of the line, the car barn.
Joseph Sutak? No, he's not here.
Where is he?
Where else? 2 hours ago, he took his car out, number 17. He's somewhere along the line.
Are you sure of that?
Well, unless he has decided to take his streetcar across the Adriatic.
That could be, Buster.
Eh?
I've just come from the depot at the other end of town. He didn't show up.
What?
That's right. No sign of Sutak or the streetcar.
What foolishness is this? He must be on the route somewhere.
He isn't. Neither is his streetcar. You're positive he hasn't come back into the barn?
Positive. I've been sitting here for... wait. This is some kind of a joke, huh?
It's no joke, believe me. Why don't you check it?
Excuse me.
He grabs the telephone and then his Adam's apple starts bobbing up and down like a yo-yo as he makes a few frantic calls. Finally, he hangs up, leans weakly against the desk for support. A second or two later, the door of the office bangs open and a short, bald-headed man comes bouncing into the room. He looks a little pale, too.
What is this all about, you idiot? Are you drunk? I warned you about...
But Mr. Merslack...
Fantastic nonsense about losing a streetcar. Idiot. Imbecile.
Look, Merslack...
And who are you?
Steve Mitchell. Here are my credentials.
An American agent, I see. I am the supervisor here. What is it you wish?
I'm looking for Joseph Sutak. Seems he's disappeared.
So this idiot dispatcher Armando was telling me impossible.
But Mr. Merslag, I've called the repair shop, the watchman, the depot, no one has seen.
There must have been a breakdown, an accident.
But I've had no report.
Fool, then what do you think has happened?
But I don't...
Do you want me to believe Sutak has vanished into thin air, his streetcar too?
But I...
Come, quiet. Come along, Mr. Mitchell. We'll get to the bottom of this.
But what?
Don't bother.
Merslag and I head out in his auto. We follow the car tracks through town. We meet half a dozen streetcars along the route, but there's no sign of Sutak or number 17. Finally, we pull up at the end of the line. Merslag stares down the length of the deserted track. His mouth opens and shuts a few times, but nothing comes out. He looks like a man who's about to slit his throat. We turn around and head back toward town. It isn't until we roll into the warehouse district that he manages to say something.
Fantastic. It is absolutely fantastic. Wait, I know. This is all a dream, a nightmare.
Yes, that's what it is, a nightmare.
Pinch yourself, Merslog, and learn the horrible truth. You've just lost yourself a streetcar, and if you don't mind my saying so, it's a pretty sickening way to run a business.
20 years I have been a supervisor. Never once have I ever lost a car. Never once have
I
ever...
I thought you said there were no other branching tracks off the main line.
That is right.
What do you call that up ahead?
Yes, I forgot about them.
Stop the car.
This track is no longer used. You see, it belonged once to the railroad company.
Where does it lead to?
It runs along the building here. Yes, you see?
Yeah, come on.
Mr. Mitchell, do you think it is possible we will find it here?
Could be. Looks like the tracks run right into the warehouse.
Yes, I think you are right, of course.
Now, we can roll up this door and have a look. It's locked.
Oh, there must be another door. Perhaps along the side of the warehouse or around the back.
Yeah, you take the side of the building and I'll go around the other way. I'll meet you around back. Merslog disappears into the shadows, and I slip around the side of the warehouse. Halfway down the length of the building, I find a door. This one's locked, too. I try my shoulder to it. It doesn't budge. I move along, hugging the side of the building, and then I spot something up ahead. Someone moving in the shadows. I start to ease around a huge scrap pile, a stack of junked automobiles, broken down bathtubs, sinks, and boilers, and then I hear something rattle close by. I look up just in time to see the top of the stack start to topple. I duck, but I don't quite make it.
Steve Mitchell will continue his dangerous assignment in just a moment. Once again, we celebrate the coming of a new year. Millions of cars will crowd the streets and highways of the nation, and in every car there will lurk an unwelcome stranger, a grim menace who will turn pleasure into tragedy if he can. That menace is death or injury in a traffic accident. This menace has no conscience and recognizes no authority except complete control at the steering wheel. Control, of course, means obeying all traffic regulations, staying within lawful and common sense speed limits, and refraining from drinking if you drive. Now, when you drive, keep in mind that traffic accidents have been piling up totals of more than 30,000 deaths and over 1 million injuries each year. And holidays always take an appalling toll of fatalities and injuries. So keep on the alert every instant, not only for yourself, but for the other fellow. Be extra careful, won't you? Drive as if your life depended on it, because it does. Now back to Dangerous Assignment and Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell.
Mr. Mitchell.
What? Oh, Merslag.
What happened? I heard the clatter and came running.
Somebody shoved a pile of junk down at me. Hey, how about getting this thing off my chest?
Oh, of course.
Oh, brother. Now I've seen everything.
Huh?
During my time, I've been hit by everything but the kitchen sink.
So?
So now I've been hit by the kitchen sink.
Oh, yes, and a good-sized one. Fortunately, it did not strike you a direct blow.
Come on. I still want to take a look in that warehouse.
You see? A small window up there.
Yeah. Climb up these crates.
Be careful. Careful, Mitchell.
Now.
Well?
Great. The warehouse is empty.
What?
Yeah. We drew a blank.
Mitchell, this whole thing is utterly fantastic.
You're telling me.
Streetcar number 17 starts on its regular run today, just as it had been doing for weeks, months, years. You ride on it, you are forced off at gunpoint. Then, poof, it disappears. We search the tracks from one end to the other.
No streetcar.
No streetcar, indeed. Then we find this abandoned spur line which leads into the warehouse. But again, no streetcar.
Wait a minute. Maybe the streetcar was in this warehouse.
But you just saw for yourself it was not.
I know, but maybe whoever hit me on the head did it to knock me out so he could move the streetcar out of here.
But that is impossible. You forget I was in the vicinity, on the other side of the warehouse. Surely I would have heard the streetcar being moved.
Yeah, I'm sure you would, Merslog.
Mr. Merslog.
What?
Oh, Armando.
so glad you're back.
Any sign of the streetcar, Armando?
No, not at all.
Oh, fine.
You fool, to waste your time.
I have men out combing every foot of track, Mr. Murslock.
Have all the other cars checked in?
Yes, everyone but number 17. See for yourself. Number one, in. Number two, in.
All right, all right, enough.
In all my years as dispatcher, such a thing as...
What have you got to complain about? You are only the dispatcher. I am the supervisor. Such a thing could ruin my entire career.
Which reminds me, Mr. Murslag, the board of directors is waiting in the office to see.
The board of directors? Ruin. Oh, the end.
The end. Don't talk to me, Armando. The end.
The broken man.
Look, Armando. Is there any chance that that car number 17 could have gotten back here without being checked in?
Impossible.
Mr. Mitchell?
Huh?
You remember me? Hero at the tobacco shop?
Oh, sure. Sutok's friend.
Did you find him,
No, not only I did not find him, we can't even find his streetcar.
What? You are joking.
Some joke.
But how could such a thing be?
It couldn't, but it is. Look, Guido, you'd better get back to your tobacco shop. Sutak may try to contact you there, and if he does, let me know right away.
Yes, very well.
Come on, Armando. I want to take a look around this car, barn.
Very well, but it's a waste of time. You won't find number 17. Hey, see, the cars are lined up according to number.
Yeah. I gather that big gap over there is where 17 should be.
Yes, yes. This line is complete, except for that. See there? The motorman has just backed number 25 into place here at the end. And the other lines of cars are... What's the matter, Mr. Mitchell?
Oh, nothing, Armando. I guess you're right. This is a waste of time. You might as well go back into the office. What stopped me in my tracks is a little hole in the side of our car 25, and it looks very much like a bullet hole. I remember Zagreb throwing a shot at me after he eased off the streetcar, and the shot had plunked into the side of the car. I wait until Armando leaves, then I ease casually around to the front. Number 25 is painted right on the wood like all the other cars, but when I look closer, I see a few small nail holes. A plaque with another number could have been put over it. Number 17, for instance. Part of the deal starts adding up now, but I still need a lot of answers. One thing is sure. If a switch was made, the motorman of this car is involved. I keep an eye on him. He signs in, then goes out the back of the car bar, and I tail him. He heads into the big junkyard where they keep the broken-down cars and other equipment. He goes in a small shack in one corner. I ease up and peek through a crack. He's bending over a guy who's tied up on the floor, a guy who figures to be Sutok. I start toward the door, but stumble over a piece of scrap metal. The motorman comes charging out the door. I'm ready for him.
Boom!
I go inside and pull the gag off Sutok's mouth.
Oh, Mitchell?
Yeah. Here, I'll get you untied, Sutok. What happened?
They've kept me here since this morning, trying to make me tell them where the document is.
You better get out of here before any of his pals show up.
Yeah.
A lot of junk stacked all over. We ought to be able to keep undercover.
Yes.
Look, about the document, where is it?
I'm not sure.
What? Wait a minute. You're the guy who telephoned our embassy in Belgrade, aren't you?
Of course. You see, the member of the underground who smuggled the document out is a friend of mine. He came to me for help. They were after him. He said they would do anything to get the document back, that it had to do with stolen atomic secrets.
That's right. It's a list of information stolen from us. Go on.
He wanted me to hide him. My car number 17 was in the repair shop at the time. I hid him there and telephoned your embassy.
I see. Then what?
When I came to get number 17 this morning, I found my friend in the alley, wounded. He mumbled something about a streetcar, and then he died. Before I could do anything, Zagreb and the other motorman ran up. They knocked me unconscious and brought me here. Come.
Where to?
Over there in the other corner of the yard. It must be over there somewhere.
Car number 17?
Yes. They brought it back here and are searching it for the document, which they believe is hidden somewhere inside.
But how did they pull the switch?
I heard them discuss their plan. You see, each car is checked out of the barn at the beginning of the shift and back in at the end of the shift.
So?
So, the first thing this morning, they moved car 17 back here. Car 25 departs before car 17. So this morning it went out as usual. When it returned in the middle of the shift, they put on a plaque with number 17.
Sure. It gets checked out now as 17. Then after I get eased off it, they rip the plaque off. It gets checked back in under its right number, 25.
So according to the records, 25 checked out and in, 17 checked out but did not check in.
And all the time, 17 was roosting back here in the junkyard. A pretty neat way to stall for time while they search it.
Wait. That car over there.
Yeah. Flashlight moving around in it. Come on, we'll ease up to it.
The front end.
It smashed in. Boards pried loose.
Sure, that figures. They'd want to get that number off it and make it look like a junk car.
Yes.
Hold it. The light went out inside.
Shh. Somebody is coming.
Get down. Now.
What?
Drop the gun, Zagreb.
No, get back.
I said drop it. Thanks. I'll take it.
Mitchell, you...
Well, well. What's the piece of paper in your hand, Zagreb? I'll take that, too. Come on, hand it over.
Very well.
Thanks. Glad you finally found it in that streetcar. I came a long way to get this paper, Zagreb, and it looks like I got here just in time.
Not quite, Mitchell.
What?
Drop the gun.
Why? It is Guido.
Yeah, your friend from the tobacco shop.
Guido, what does this mean? You offered me a place to hide.
Sure, so he could stay close to you, hoping you'd lead him to the document.
It did not work out quite that way, of course, but there is of no matter now. Hand over the document, Mitchell.
I do. Sutak and I are cooked, and I spot something on the ground with the other junk. It's a length of pipe about 10 feet long. I hold out the document as if to hand it over, then I drop it to the ground.
Mitchell.
He did that deliberately.
Sorry, I'll pick it up.
Oh, no. Oh, I won't fall for that trick, Mitchell. You bend over, pick it up, and then grab your gun on the ground, huh? Step back. I would pick it up.
He says just what I want him to say. I take a step back. Guido bends over to pick up the document. Suddenly, I kick at one end of the pipe. The other end swings around and clips him on the ankle. It throws him off balance. His shot goes wild. Before he can try again, I nail him. He crumples up and his gun flies out of his hand. Zagreb dives for it, but I flatten him.
Oh.
Well, most effective, Mitchell.
Maybe I should have saved one of them for you, Sutak, after the beating they gave you.
I'm quite happy this way, believe me. That was very quick thinking on your part.
Well, it's lucky I spotted that length of pipe. After that, it was a breeze. Or, I guess I should say a lead pipe cinch.
Our star, Brian Donlevy, will return in just a moment. Tomorrow, New Year's Day, this station of the NBC Radio Network will broadcast two classic football bowl games. From Dallas, Texas, home of the famed Cotton Bowl, NBC will broadcast the game between the University of Texas Longhorns and the University of Tennessee Volunteers. Mike's side for NBC at Dallas will be Lindsey Nelson and Bob Murphy to bring you every exciting play as Texas, Southwest Conference champions, and Tennessee, one of the fine teams of the Southeast, clash in this traditional New Year's Day bowl game. Then, following the Cotton Bowl game, NBC will switch controls to Pasadena, California for the granddaddy of all bowl games, the Rose Bowl. Al Helfer and Braven Dyer will handle the Rose Bowl play-by-play broadcast between the Trojans of Southern California and the Badgers of Wisconsin. So here's our invitation to you to be set side tomorrow when NBC broadcasts both the Cotton Bowl and the Rose Bowl football games. Remember, NBC brings you the top sporting events the year around.
Next week, South Pacific. I add a new tune, Some Enchanted Clay Pigeon, me.
And that will be Steve Mitchell's dangerous assignment next week. Included in tonight's cast were Paul Frees, Dan Riss, Tony Barrett, Paul Duboff, and Herb Ellis. This is John Storm speaking. Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell with Herb Ellis as the commissioner, is written by Bob Reif and Adrian John Doe and is directed by Bill Karn. Be with us again next week at this time when Brian Donlevy, starring in the role of Steve Mitchell, will embark on another transcribed Dangerous Assignment.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. This is Ripley's. Believe it or not. George Bothwell of Clintonville, Wisconsin, sold his car, and 2 months later, as it was being towed away, it broke loose, careened down the street, and crashed into his store. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about an odd place to live. Oakman, a poor foundling of Lahore, Pakistan, lived for 62 years upon the marble steps of the Mosque of Vizier Khan in Lahore. He was abandoned there by his parents at age 5, and from then on, the marble steps were the only home he knew. Supported by the charity of pious visitors, he lived, ate, and slept there in all kinds of weather, never leaving until he died at the age of 67, believe it or not.
Slaughter's my name, Luke Slaughter. Cattle's my business. It's a tough business. It's big business. I got a big stake in it. And there's no man west of the Rio Grande big enough to take it from me.
Luke Slaughter of Tombstone. Luke Slaughter of Tombstone, Civil War cavalryman turned Arizona cattleman. Across the territory, from Yuma to Fort Defiance, from Flagstaff to the Huachucas, and below the border through Chihuahua and Sonora, his name was respected or feared, depending on which side of the law you were on. Man of vision, man of legend, Luke Slaughter of Tombstone.
Pounds of dust this last couple of weeks.
Won't be much longer, Jim. With luck, we'll be in Tombstone day after tomorrow.
Won't be none too soon for me. Once I get out of this saddle, I'm gonna stay out of it a while.
You never been to Tombstone, Jim. A couple of things you ought to know.
Such as what?
It'll be a pretty wild town. Ah, they got some peaceful, law-abiding citizens there, all right. They've also got some of the toughest drifters in the world.
Gunslingers?
Yeah. So remember, you keep that itchy trigger finger of yours under control.
Don't you worry none about me.
Hold it.
What's the matter?
A little smoke coming out of that brush over there. Jim, keep the herd headed straight. Come on, Wichita, let's take a look.
Right. Could be a campfire.
Yeah.
This is Indian country around here, ain't it, Slaughter?
Indian country, bandit country, rustler country. You name it.
Well, as soon as we get up to the edge of the wash here, we... Yeah, there it is. Little campfire down near that clump of ocotillo.
The fire's out, but it's still smoking.
No sign of life around. You reckon...
Hold it. Movement back there in the mesquite. All right. Come on out of there. Come out.
I'm coming. Don't you shoot now.
Who are you?
My name's Ralston.
He's got a leg wound, Slaughter.
What are you doing here?
You a marshal?
No.
I got into a scrape in Tombstone. I had to get out.
With a souvenir in your leg, huh?
Not bad, but it slows me down. My horse got away from me last night, and I couldn't catch it. I had to hold up here.
What kind of scrape were you in?
I didn't do nothing wrong, mister. I'm innocent.
I didn't ask you about that. I asked what kind of scrape.
Slaughter.
Yeah, I see him. Two of them. Rifles across their saddles.
You think this fellow was a decoy to get us into a trap?
No, now, that's not true.
Wait a minute. One of them's wearing a badge.
Yeah. I've seen him before. Taggart, sheriff from Tombstone.
All right, Ralston. Just hold it right where you are. Don't try nothing.
That bad leg of his, sheriff, I doubt he's going to try much.
With fugitives, I don't take no chances, stranger. Thanks for rounding him up for me.
He's a fugitive, huh?
He sure is. My name's Taggart. I'm the sheriff of Tombstone. It's my deputy, Blackwell. Been trailing Ralston for 2 days now.
What's the charge?
Payroll robbery.
That's a lie.
You keep your mouth shut, Ralston. Everybody in Tombstone knows you did it.
Easy, Blackwell. He ain't gonna make no trouble. We'll see to that.
Payroll robbery, you say?
Yeah, one of the mines. He was supposed to be guarding it. Instead, he took off with it.
You got any witnesses?
We got plenty of evidence.
I asked you if you had any witnesses.
What business is it of yours?
Just a minute, Blackwell. I'm talking to Taggart.
Who are you, stranger?
Luke Slaughter.
Slaughter? I heard of you. Supposed to be pretty fast with a gun, ain't you?
It's a matter of opinion.
You ask me, it's more an opinion.
I didn't ask you, Wichita. Oh. You got a warrant for Ralston's arrest, Taggart. Well?
There's no time to get a warrant.
That's funny. Last I heard, there was a judge right there in Tombstone. Wouldn't have taken you very long. How about you busting right across the border without any papers or anything?
Slaughter, you got a bad habit of being insulting. That's a habit I'm going to break.
Now?
Let's take him, Taggart.
Can you take both of us, Blackwell?
We got the drop on you, Slaughter.
Well, that's a matter of opinion, too, Taggart.
Meaning what?
Those rifles of yours are pretty clumsy at close quarters. I don't think you got the drop on me at all. Let's find out.
I'm here to take my prisoner back to Tombstone.
Not without a warrant.
Well, now, you ain't going to...
Don't move that rifle unless you're going to use it.
You got a herd out there, Slaughter. You heading for Tombstone?
That's right.
And I'll see you in Tombstone.
It's fine with me.
Come on, Blackwell. Here.
Thanks, Slaughter. Thanks a lot.
Get Ralston up behind you, Wichita. Let's get back to the herd. By sunset, 2 days later, we were in Tombstone. We herded the cattle into the pens. Then we went to the Crystal Palace to collect our money from the cattle buyer, Ezra Canfield.
Well, I've checked them cattle over, Slaughter. He's in good condition, considering the distance you brought him. Here's your money.
Count it, Wichita.
Right.
What are your plans now, Slaughter?
Heading right back to Mexico. Pick up another herd.
Good. We got a lot of hungry miners here in Tombstone. Need all the beef we can get.
Now, don't tell me we got to leave right away, Slaughter. I want to see the sights around here.
Tombstone's not a very good town for you to be wandering around loose in, Jim.
I promise you I won't get in no trouble, Slaughter. I just want to do a little living for a change.
Money's all here.
All right. Jim, take it back to the hotel room. Sit on it.
But what about seeing the sights?
We'll talk about that later. I'll get moving.
All right, doggone it.
Sounds like you sure spoiled his evening, Slaughter.
Yeah, I think we can arrange for him to get a couple of breaths of night air around here before we take off.
Taggart just come in.
I see him.
Well, Canfield, look like you ain't too particular who you do business with.
There's nothing wrong with them cattle he sold me, Sheriff. I checked them myself.
That ain't what I meant. I'm talking about Slaughter here obstructing justice, refusing to turn over a fugitive to me. You'd like to get a little... Where are you hiding Ralston now, Slaughter?
You ought to know. You're the sheriff.
What's that signify?
I had a little talk with Ralston on the trail. All he wanted was to be sure of getting back here in one piece to stand a fair trial. Turned himself into your night guard at the jail.
You're bluffing.
Well, that'll be an easy bluff to call. Why don't you go find out?
I aim to.
He's a pretty poor excuse for a sheriff, Slaughter. But he's all we got.
What do you expect? Who'd want the job? Tombstone's a rough town.
Not too rough for the right man. I think you could be the right man, Slaughter.
Me?
Yeah. There are a lot of us around here who'd like to see law and order established once and for all, Slaughter. And we know about you. Know you can handle the worst of them.
You know, that might not be such a bad idea, if you ask me.
Nobody did, Wichita.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Canfield. My business is cattle, not law enforcement.
In Tombstone, law enforcement's everybody's business. Think it over, Slaughter.
Hey. If you was to take the job, Slaughter, I'll bet Jim would be glad to be your deputy.
Yeah, that's all I'd need around here. He'd probably start more fights than he'd stop. Come on.
Slaughter, I wonder about you sometimes. I wonder if you wasn't already a lawman once.
I wonder about you too, Wichita. I wonder if you were born with that big nose of yours, or did you grow it later?
I had it as long as I can remember. But hey, it's raining. I didn't know it ever rained in Tombstone.
It isn't very heavy. Won't last long.
Slaughter!
What is it, Taggart?
What kind of play is this?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Ralston is what I'm talking about.
I told you. Ralston turned himself in.
Yeah, well, he ain't in the jail now. That cell door is wide open.
What?
And what's more, my night guard's been pistol whipped. Looked like Ralston had a friend helped him to break out. You wouldn't know who that'd be, would you?
No, I wouldn't.
Hey, Sheriff. A horse has been stolen from Wilkie's livery stable. That's proudly how Ralston made his getaway.
Looks like I got you to thank for this, Slaughter.
Think so?
Yeah. If I handled things my own way, this wouldn't have happened. Next time you cross me is going to be the last time.
Don't be too sure of that, Taggart.
You know, Slaughter, you got a natural talent for making enemies.
A man like Taggart, it isn't hard. Come on, let's get back to the hotel.
I still don't get it, Slaughter. Why would Ralston have gave himself up and then busted out of jail?
Some men you never know about till they make a move. Ralston didn't do it alone. He had to have a friend.
Maybe his friend convinced him he wouldn't get a fair trial.
Maybe.
Anyway, he... Slaughter, look, Jim, on the floor.
He's been slugged. He's out cold.
Wait a minute. The cattle money.
Yeah. It's gone.
In a moment, Luke Slaughter of Tombstone returns. Whenever significant events take place, you can count on CBS News to bring you first-hand and well-detailed descriptions of what is happening, often broadcast right from the scene of the event. You can count on CBS newsmen, too, to make certain that fact is emphasized and conjecture clearly labeled. Each correspondent on staff brings a fine background in reporting to his job. And in the tradition of the CBS newsroom, they all share an uncompromising respect for the truth. So why don't you let CBS News keep you as fully informed as an expert? And now, Act Two of William N. Robeson's production of Luke Slaughter of Tombstone.
Jim, come on, boy. That's it, boy. Come on, come out of it.
You all right, Jim?
Oh, I guess so.
What happened, Jim?
I don't rightly know, Slaughter. I heard a noise. It sounded like it come from outside the window on the balcony.
Yeah?
I went over and stuck my head out to look. Something awful hard hit me on the side of the head. I went down. And then somebody climbed through the window into the room. I tried to get to my feet, and he hit me again. That's the last I remember.
You get a good look at him, Jim?
No, his hat was pulled down low, and he had a bandana over his face.
Was it Ralston?
I don't know. He took the cattle money, didn't he?
Yeah.
Fine guard I turned out to be.
Yeah, it's too late to worry about that. Just be glad you have a hard head.
Slaughter.
Yeah?
It was Ralston.
How do you figure?
Remember that ring he wore? Mexican work, looked like?
What about it?
Had a green stone set in it, carved like a snake's head.
Yeah, I remember.
Here it is. I found it on the floor. Must have been jarred loose when he slugged Jim.
It's a stone, all right. Well, looks like Taggart was right after all.
Well, well. So you finally wised up to Ralston, huh, Slaughter? Too late, of course.
Maybe not, Taggart. Wichita.
Yeah?
You got the grub ready?
Packed in the saddlebags.
Maybe next time you won't interfere when I'm trying to enforce the law.
How about the bedrolls, Wichita?
All ready.
You're going after him, huh?
What do you think?
I think there's a couple of things wrong with that idea.
Like what?
In the first place, you get a poor chance of finding his trail at night in the rain.
Rain's letting up. It'll stop soon. I want to be ready to start trailing as soon as it's light.
The second thing is wrong. Law enforcement is my business, Slaughter, not yours.
That's my money he got away with.
Yeah, but there's still the matter of that mine payroll he's got stashed away somewhere. Now look, it's Slaughter. Ain't no sense our being at each other's throats all the time. You crossed me once, it riled me, but I'm willing to let it pass. I figure everybody's entitled to one mistake.
Depends on what the mistake is, doesn't it?
The point is, we both want Ralston. Now, the smart thing to do is for us to trail him together. Me and Blackwell, you and Wichita. How about it?
All right, Taggart.
Good. Good. I'll get word to Blackwell right away. He's on his ranch, out of town a ways, up near Crocker Mesa.
Well, he ain't a full-time deputy, huh?
This town can't afford one. I'll send word to him to meet us in the morning.
We'll be ready at sunup. Let's keep in Blackwell, Taggart.
Oh, you'll be along any minute, Slaughter.
It's been an hour since the rain stopped. We're wasting time. That trail's going to get cold on us, even if we manage to pick it up in first place. And that ain't going to be easy.
Easier than you think, baby.
What do you mean, Taggart?
I had a talk with Wilkie down the stable last night. That stolen horse had thrown a shoe off of his left hind hoof. Wilkie didn't have a chance to put a new one on.
That'll help some.
Oh, here's Blackwell.
Sorry I'm late, gents. Busted the cinch strap saddling up and had to rig a new one.
No harm, Blackwell. 10 minutes isn't going to make much difference one way or another.
Does to me.
All right, gentle down, Slaughter. Now, I figure Ralston headed south, out of town towards the border. We'll cover that area first. Let's get moving, gents.
Looks like that was a bum hunch of yours about Ralston headed for the border, Taggart. We've covered every trail leading south out of Tombstone.
Well, like I say, Slaughter, everybody's entitled to one mistake. Gotta admit, it was logical to reckon he'd be headed straight south.
We covered most of the country west of town, too.
Well, we'd just keep circling. Maybe he took off to the north.
Hold up. What is it? Over there.
Tracks.
I'll take a closer look.
What about it, Blackwell?
Yeah? This is the one we're looking for, all right. No shoe on the left hind hoof.
Heading straight west.
Yeah. For the San Pedro River.
Let's move. The tracks lead right into the river.
Yeah, it's an old trick, but it still works. Probably rode up or downstream a ways, then out on the other side. This trail's gonna be tough to find again over there. That's pretty rocky ground.
So I see.
When we do pick it up again, I'll bet it turns south. I still think he's heading for the border.
Let's cross and split up. 2 upstream, 2 downstream.
Right.
Whoever picks that trail on the other side, fire 2 shots.
Right.
Dang, if I can figure a fellow like Ralston out, Slaughter. I sure never figured he'd take this way of paying you back for everything you've done for him.
Hold it here, Wichita.
What's the matter?
Let Taggart and Blackwell get out of sight around that bend. Now let's get back to the riverbank.
I don't get it, Slaughter.
We're not going to look for tracks on the other side of the river. We're going to look for them on this side.
I still don't know what you...
Get off your horse. Now take a look. A close look at those tracks we've been trailing, Wichita. Well?
There's a little dry dirt in the bottom of each one.
Yeah. It was raining last night when Ralston's supposed to have stolen our money and the horse and made his getaway.
Yeah, rain stopped about an hour before sunup.
And these tracks were made after it stopped raining. That's why you see dry dirt where the hooves cut through the wet.
Wait a minute. You mean somebody rigged this trail to lead us on a wild goose chase?
It's just what we're going to find out. We worked our way along the riverbank. Half a mile upstream, we picked up the tracks coming back out of the river and circling. We followed them, headed northwest. 20 minutes later, we came over a rise and spotted a small ranch house in the hollow below. The only sign of life was a few buzzards clustered on a mound in a little gully behind the ranch. We left our horses concealed and worked our way down the slope under cover. Buzzards reluctantly took flight. We saw what had been buried in the mound, or what was left of it.
Ralston's body.
Yeah. Whoever stole our cattle money busted Ralston out of jail, forced him out here, and killed him.
Yeah. Question is, who done it? Whose ranch is this?
See over there to the right? It's Crocker's Mesa.
Crocker's Mesa? Taggart said Blackwell had a ranch near Crocker's Mesa, so Blackwell's our man.
Looks like it.
We better get back to that ranch house before Blackwell gets back.
Might be too late. If they figure we tumbled to the fake trail, they could circle back here to the ranch ahead of us.
They? You mean Taggart, too?
Soon find out. Keep down as much as you can. We'll circle around the corral.
There's Taggart on the porch with a rifle.
Get down. That ain't see a question about Taggart.
Sure does.
No doubt about it. They're in it together.
There he goes, inside the house.
We gotta bust him out of that house somehow. Wait a minute. That wagon there beside the corral.
Huh?
When I give the word, we'll head for it. Get behind it.
Yeah, all right.
Now.
Well, what now?
The ground slopes down to the house from here. Let's get this wagon moving. It'll cover us. Now, shout.
Shout.
Stay close behind it. Be ready to shoot when it hits.
She's heading right for the house.
Stay low.
Yeah, sure will. There she goes.
Come on, fast.
Yeah, there's Blackwell at the window.
I'll get him.
Oh!
Hold it, Taggart. Drop your gun. Drop it.
All right, Slaughter. All right.
Don't try it.
Hey! My, he took a little convincing.
Where's the money, Blackwell? Where is it?
Under a loose board in the floor.
Loose board? I got it. Yeah. Here's our cattle money, all right. And the mine payroll.
Well, I guess that's that.
Yeah. You know, Slaughter, appears to me you was taking quite a chance. Just winging Blackwell and knocking out Taggart instead of gunning him down. You don't owe them no favors.
I wasn't doing him any favor, Wichita. I was just saving him.
Saving him? For what?
The citizens of Tombstone.
Luke Slaughter of Tombstone, starring Sam Buffington. Written by Robert Stanley, with editorial supervision by Tom Hanley, and directed by William N. Robeson. Supporting Mr. Buffington were Junius Matthews, Sam Edwards, Vic Perrin, Lawrence Dobkin, Jack Moyles, and Frank Gerstle. Next week at this time, we return with...
Slaughter's the name. Luke Slaughter. When we meet up again, you can call me that. Luke Slaughter.
Spike
special score for Luke Slaughter was composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Stay tuned now for Frontier Gentlemen, following immediately on most of these same stations of the CBS Radio Network.
That's going to do it for the Relic Radio show for this week. You can find the website for this show at relicradio.com. Where else? You'll also find all our other podcasts listed there, past episodes from them, links to everything Relic Radio, like our forum, our Shoutcast stream, and everything else. You can email me, relicradio@gmail.com. Follow this show on Twitter at twitter.com/relicradio. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. I'll be back next week. Brand new episode of the Relic Radio show.